This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. It's good to be back behind the microphone. I had taken a couple of weeks off vacation and went to a camp with my daughter, a father and teen camp, and then the flood came, so I've been out for about 3 weeks, but I've not forgotten what to do behind the microphone. I know we've got a lot to cover today, including what is happening here in Louisiana. We are broadcasting from Louisiana. But first, I want to thank those who have filled in for me over the last few weeks. Dr. Everett Piper, Zach Dasher, and Ken Klukowski, a very familiar voice, Janet Medford, Sandy Rios, who's heard on the American Family Radio Network on a daily basis, and of course our good friend Todd Starnes with FoxNews.com, and Peter and Chris from the Family Research Council. Appreciate all those filling in for me and giving me some time off, and then allowing me in this last week to work on the disaster relief efforts here in Louisiana and the result of this historic flood. We'll talk more about that. So, coming up today, 5 days after Donald Trump visited neighborhoods and homes devastated by the unprecedented floodwaters that destroyed over 100,000 homes, President Obama came to Baton Rouge yesterday. But unlike Donald Trump, the president did not visit a church, did not talk about the faith-based response. Rather, he praised his administration for its response to the disaster. Congressman Garrett Graves, who represents the Baton Rouge area, was there, and he'll join me in just a moment. Also, a federal judge in Texas sided with state and local officials blocking the president's hazardous bathroom and shower policy. I'll be joined by the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Dan Forrest, where this battle over the bathrooms began. And North Carolina Congresswoman Virginia Fox will join me to talk about her new book, God is in the House, Congressional Testimonies of Faith. All that and more in the next hour of Washington Watch. The website is TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest, our topics. Also, listen up, Values Voter Summit coming up September the 9th and 10th. You will not want to miss this event. In fact, we'll have a lot of folks there, including the Republican presidential candidate for president, Donald Trump, will be there. You can find out more about the Values Voter Summit. There's still room for you. I'll save you a spot, but you got to register quick. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with what's happening on a regular basis with me. At T. Perkins. I'll keep you posted on what's transpiring. Again, that is at T. Perkins. All right, the flood relief effort in Louisiana is in high gear. As I said yesterday on Fox Business, I can't help but be encouraged, yes, encouraged, by the generosity and concern shown by people from across this nation and here locally. Even as the floodwaters were rising, the visible demonstrations of selflessness for care for one's neighbor. It's really been remarkable. And what I have seen and what's been taking place at our church, Greenville Springs Baptist Church, has been all faith-based, nonprofit response. And we're literally helping hundreds of people each and every day. I've not yet spoken to the first federal government official in terms of bureaucrat. I've spoken to our next guest and other members of Congress who are encouraging and supporting the faith-based response, but also making sure that the government's doing its job. Let me just go back. I know I've talked about this as a guest, but I want to set the stage for my first guest, Congressman Garrett Graves. As I mentioned as a guest here on my own program last week, when we were not getting any media attention, I had called Donald Trump's campaign, talked to his campaign manager, and said this would be a great opportunity for Donald Trump to come down. They considered it for a few hours, said, yes, he'll come. Not wanting a photo op, but simply wanting to come down and view the damage and then make a statement and release information later. Well, there was some press caught on. And they covered it. But as I toured with Donald Trump and Mike Pence and Franklin Graham, Donald Trump was amazed at the extent of the damage and how it was not being covered by the media. And since his trip here last Friday, the media has been covering it. In fact, Sean Hannity did his program earlier this week from our church. And as a result, the president, the president was coming down before Sean Hannity, but I think Donald Trump's trip here put pressure on the president to come. And he was here yesterday. I was not there. He didn't come to the church. His focus was more on the government's response. But one of our members of Congress who represents this area, represents the 6th Congressional District, who was actually with us earlier this week, was on Sean's show, is Congressman Garrett Graves, and he joins me now. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Great to be on.
Let's talk first. I want to get into the president's visit, but I first want to get an update on the relief effort and what you're seeing take place throughout this area, which covers a lot of your district that's been impacted by this flood.
Tony, what's been so remarkable about this disaster is that people didn't sit around and wait for government to come in. When the floodwater started rising and surprised so many people, you saw what we deemed the Cajun Navy coming out and very quickly grabbing their own boats, their own rescue supplies, and picking up neighbors. You very quickly saw, when the floodwaters receded, people grabbing their barbecue pits and heading out to parking lots and absolutely cooking for thousands of people just with whatever food they could find in their freezers. And then now you can drive down virtually any of these flooded streets and you will see virtually every home has already been gutted because neighbors have stepped in and just helped one another out.
Yeah, it is. It's been quite remarkable. As I had mentioned earlier, one of the first calls that I made was to Samaritan's Purse, to Franklin Graham and his team. They were down here within 48 hours. They've been going in and helping people who don't have the family or the resources to tear out and gut their homes. They're doing that. And you're right, family helping family. But it's very difficult because there's hardly a family in most of these communities that has not been impacted. When, like, for instance, in the community that our church is located, you visited the other night in Central, over half the homes in that community have flooded.
The impacts are tremendous. I don't think that many people really appreciate how traumatic this flood has been. As you know, the average national rainfall for the United States is about 31 inches a year, and we received that in pretty much 2 days. And so just a catastrophic flood, and I did fail to mention, while all of our community members are out there helping one another, It absolutely is all surrounded or coordinated by our churches, our faith-based community, and groups like Samaritan's Purse. And of course, Liberty University was out there at the church this week as well. Just awesome. Because when you go into a home and someone has lost everything, and this has happened so many times where people just tell you, they start naming all the things they've lost, their clothes, their furniture, their car, and they say, I don't have anything left except God. Or they say, I don't have anything left, and we remind them, you do have God. And I'll tell you, that is such an important part of our recovery, and the faith-based community has been awesome at stepping up and coordinating this and helping people, helping restore hope to many of these people that otherwise didn't have it.
Well, let me use that as a transition then to the president's visit yesterday. And prior to him coming down, he did take time to allow his administration to issue, I think, a 16-page memo on how not to discriminate in relief efforts down here, which, quite frankly, I take offense to because we have helped every person who has walked through the door of our churches, including Muslim couples, people of different color, different faith, does not matter. We don't ask them that. We just help them. Nobody asked, what somebody's orientation was or what their ethnic background was when they picked them up in a boat and carried them away from a flooded home. And quite frankly, I find that offensive that this president would do that.
The memo absolutely does not represent our community and doesn't recognize our values down here. It was a misfire. Absolutely. Just missed the mark.
Now, the president yesterday praising his administration for FEMA's response to this, and he did make a comment that this is bigger than what the government can handle, that it's going to require the faith-based community and the nonprofit sector. But I find it very interesting and a contrast between Donald Trump when he came down, where he came to a church, actually two churches, two different faith-based operations that were responding to this. He did get a briefing from officials in Ascension. He also toured neighborhoods. Big contrast to where the president went.
It really was. Trump was, first of all, I think very well received down here, and he did bring supplies. He brought a check, and I think was very well received in the community. And as you noted in the opening, it was the first real national figure that we had come down here, because the president had not come down. And so very well received, and I'll tell you, I was optimistic that the president was going to come down, and after seeing a bit of this, recognize how catastrophic this was, and offer up some type of relief to this community that many of which have lost virtually everything, and unfortunately that didn't happen.
What is going to be the solution? I know after Katrina we had the trailers that people stayed in. I mean, we have a lot of people that have no homes right now. The shelters are emptying out, but people are staying with friends and neighbors. Family members, but that can only last so long. And with all of these, most of these, 80% of these losses uninsured because folks didn't have flood insurance, is there going to be any type of government response here, or is this going to be strictly left up to the local communities to handle this?
You know, Tony, the Stafford Act is the federal law that governs how to respond to disasters, and it usually is somewhat sufficient at responding to the far majority of disasters that are out there. You have some catastrophic disasters that have happened, some anomalies, things like Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, 9/11, and others that require a tailored recovery package. This is believed to be a 1,000-year storm, the greatest storm in 1,000 years, 1,000-year flood. And when you have these catastrophic situations like this, you need to tailor a response package to the disaster. And just to give a few scenarios that I've heard scores of times over the past few days, someone that has a home that was worth $200,000, they still owe $100,000 on the mortgage, but the home now flooded is worth $90,000. They're upside down on the mortgage. They don't have clothes. They don't have furniture. Both their cars are flooded out, and their employer's underwater, so they can't go make any income. You can repeat that scenario thousands of times down here. And right now, under the Stafford Act, the average person using the Hurricane Sandy number received about $8,000 in assistance. This isn't a community that looks around with their hands out. We have absolutely pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we've helped ourselves. But at some point, it's time for the government to come in, and I think that we are going to have to tailor a recovery package for this catastrophic disaster.
All right, Congressman Garrett Graves, out of time, but we're going to continue to talk about this over the next several weeks and probably months. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Tony, thank you, and thanks for all you and your church have been doing to help lift the spirits.
All right. Thanks so much. All right, folks, don't go away. Coming right back after this.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with the Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas. It's a great way to say thank you to our soldiers for all they do. We'll be serving around 1,800 soldiers that day, and we need your help to make it happen. If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. That number again is 877-968-3742. You can also donate online by going to www.tankfuloflove.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Yes, it's me. I'm back. Glad to be back behind the microphone. A lot happening in Louisiana. That's where we're broadcasting from our studios in Baton Rouge, as we are continuing to work in the relief efforts. To find out more, if you want daily updates on the relief efforts, you can actually go to the website of our church, greenwellsprings.com. I'll try and put up a link on my website, tonyperkins.com, but it's greenwellsprings.com if you're interested to kind of track what's happening, as folks literally from across the country are responding and coming and helping in this historic flood that has been so devastating for our community. And I'm going to talk about this more, because as the government gets involved, there's more problems. And Congressman Graves so accurately talked about how people in desperation are looking for comfort. They're looking to make sense of this. They're looking to God in many ways. I can't tell you how many people we've prayed with in the parking lot of our churches. They've come to get water and food and other supplies. That's not happening in Red Cross shelters. And I'm going to talk more about that. Todd Starnes has a piece out. I have been hearing this from others, that they are prohibiting people from praying, and it'll, some of it tracks back to the president's memo, but we're going to dig deeper into that this week, because you know what, quite frankly, should not be tolerated. It's religious discrimination. And the president's all, you know, harping about discrimination in the response to the in the relief effort. He's the one, and his policies and what he promotes is really the discrimination. Discrimination against Christians. We've seen it throughout his administration. I know the Red Cross is, before you start emailing, I know it's a private entity, but they have to follow federal guidelines because they get federal funds. Churches like ours, we do not. All private. Supported in many cases, like folks like you. All right, we have discussed several times on this program, speaking of the Obama administration, the efforts of the president to force his political agenda, I should say radical political agenda, on the country. And one of those actions includes the bathroom mandate to force public schools to allow men to use women's restrooms and shower facilities. However, this week, the administration's agenda took yet another blow as a federal judge in Texas blocked the bathroom policy For now, it's a win for common sense and for safety. But where does it go from here? Well, we're going to be joined here, I think. Do we have the lieutenant governor? All right, we're waiting for the lieutenant governor of North Carolina, Dan Forrest, who really, that is ground zero in the bathroom battle. That's where it all started, with the policy in Charlotte, and when the legislature there in North Carolina really overturned that policy, saying no, the government cannot force private businesses and public facilities to go down this path. Well, then the Obama administration filed suit against them, and to take it a step further, then released their order dictating that every school in America, every public school that receives federal dollars, would have to adopt this twisted policy. Well, fortunately, we have judges that are seeing this for what it is. It's beyond the scope and reach of the White House, should be, and it's also dangerous. It is putting people at risk. We've seen what Target has done. Now, of course, Target's trying to recover, saying they're going to spend money to establish single occupancy restrooms for those who are uncomfortable going into a restroom with transgendered people. I mean, but they're losing business because Americans are speaking up. And one way they're speaking up is by not going to establishments like this. But look, trust me, this president is going to push this agenda as hard as he can in the final days of his administration. And fortunately, we've got about two dozen states that have filed suit that are pushing back, led by North Carolina, the Pat McCrory, the governor there as well, pushing back against the administration. Of course, they're being attacked by homosexual activists who have teamed up with even the NBA, which the NBA pulled out next year's All-Star game from North Carolina, and they moved it to New Orleans. Now, it's interesting because New Orleans has the same policy. Louisiana has the same policy as do 32 other states that do not force private businesses to adopt the president's crazy bathroom policy. So there really is no change in terms of the policies that surround the New Orleans facility as that in North Carolina. It's all political. Because North Carolina pushed back and overturned the left's radical agenda. And the president wanted to push his agenda even further. And that's when he came out with the bathroom edict for public schools all across the nation. See, this is about intimidation politics. And folks, it's time we stand up and just say, no, we won't go. We're not going to do this. And push back and support those who are standing up. If you live in North Carolina, I sure hope you're supporting the governor in his stand against this radical policy. And do not believe the distortion and the lies that these outside groups like HRC and others are bringing into the state. And churches, pastors, I hope you're speaking to this. Because if you won't, who will? I remind you once again, a very poignant statement made by a political friend of mine who said, why do pastors want me to talk on TV about things that they won't preach about or talk about in their churches? Wow. It's time we speak up. All right. Doesn't look like we're going to get to Lieutenant Governor. We'll see if we can catch up with him a little bit later. But also coming up from North Carolina, Congresswoman Virginia Fox has a new book out. She's going to be here to tell us about that. And we're also going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Go ahead and jot down this number, 866-372-7234. Going to be taking your phone calls a little bit later. Visit the website, TonyPerkins.com. Remember, the Values Voter Summit is coming up September 9th and 10th. It's right around the corner. You need to be there. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, this may be of some interest to some of you. It's not of a whole lot of interest to me, but I'll talk about it anyway. You know, of course, Bitcoin, digital currency. One of my arguments with all of this is a couple of things. One is we've had digital currency now since the formation of credit cards, number one. And secondly, this system is so unregulated, it is a free-for-all. There are many people sitting in prison as it relates to Bitcoin and digital currency. And I said a couple of years ago, until the big banks and central banks begin to start kicking around the idea of digital currency, it's not going to be legitimized, in my opinion. Well, that has happened. Some of the major banks like UBS, Swiss Bank, and Deutsche Bank, Bank of New York Mellon, and a couple others have joined forces to work on the idea of a utility settlement coin or a digital currency that can be used to instantly settle transactions through their banking system. They're expecting this to launch in 2018 sometime, and this is probably going to bring some legitimacy to digital currency. But more importantly, it is not going to happen without bringing some regulation and standardization of digital currency. This is what I have been waiting for, and I talked about a couple of years ago. So interesting developments coming out of some of the major banks in reference to a potentially new digital currency starting in 2018.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. All right, we got Dan Forrest right there at the end of that segment. He's going to be joining us in the next segment, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to talk with him. But first, let's see, Congresswoman Virginia Fox is out to prove that members of Congress aren't as godless as some may think. In her new book, God is in the House, Congressional Testimonies of Faith, Virginia compiles several testimonies of members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat. The book lays out the impact that their relationship with Christ has had on them both through their life, but also how it affects their policy decisions. This book will not only encourage you, but it also stands as a reminder that God is still involved in what takes place on Capitol Hill. And it'll give you, I think, more of a reason to pray for members of Congress. And, well, we're having trouble connecting with her, too. But she's going to be with us here in just a moment. I often tell people about this when we talk about Congress. It's easy to lump everybody together and just say Congress is a bunch of bad guys. That's why their polling is at about 10, 11% approval rating. But there's what's called the paradox of distance. People don't like Congress. But when you start talking about a particular congressman or congresswoman that represents you, the numbers go much higher. There are a number of members of Congress who are, in fact, strong believers. In fact, we have one of the most ideologically conservative houses of representatives that we've had in modern history. Many, many Bible-believing Christians who are there to do the right thing for the right reason in the right way. And that should be inspiration for us to follow the admonition of Scripture to pray for them, pray for those who are in authority. And I think this book by Virginia will help, you know, pull back the curtain, if you will, in a positive sense, and let people know of those that are in Congress motivated by their faith to serve the people of this country. I'm encouraged as I sit down and talk with members of Congress, and even in this election, there are many, there's some new potential members who are running for office that are doing so driven by a deep faith in Jesus Christ. wanting to serve and wanting to be a part of hopefully moving this nation back in the right direction. And Virginia's book helps show what some that are already there, the motivation that they have for doing what they do. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to get Virginia either. I don't know what's going on today, but if we get her, we'll talk with her. Still to come, we're going to be talking with Dan Forrest, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, about the judge's decision this week in Texas, federal judge, blocking the president's bathroom policy. A big win for common sense and security. And it all began in North Carolina, as we were talking about earlier. So Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest is going to be joining us in a little bit. Also, we won't take the whole segment for Lieutenant Governor because I want to get to your phone calls as well. It's been a few weeks since I've talked to you, and I want to make sure we get a chance to visit. Again, the website for information about the Values Voter Summit. The clock's ticking. September the 9th and 10th is going to be here before you know it. You need to go ahead and register now before all the seats are gone. And I'll tell you what, I'll save you a couple seats, but you got to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and register real soon for the Values Voter Summit coming up September the 8th and 9th in Washington, D.C. Great lineup of speakers. In fact, one of my favorites is going to be honored on Saturday night with FRC's Leadership Award, Dr. Bill Bennett, former drug czar under President Bush, and was in the Reagan administration, Department of Education, just a great guy. And so he's going to be the recipient of our Leadership Award. You can be there for that event. Again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right. Before we go to the break, and as I mentioned, when we come back, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina is supposed to be with us. We'll see. It's one of those days. I want to thank you all for praying for my family and I in Louisiana and the residents here in this area that have gone through this devastating flood. Continue to pray for them. This is going to be a long, long process of rebuilding. As I said, the devastation is—it's hard to put into words. As Donald Trump and others, Sean Hannity, as he described it after he had driven through some of the neighborhoods, unbelievable. Could not have imagined. The pictures do not do really justice to what has really happened here. And so, continue to pray for the churches and the volunteers. Pray for their safety. Pray for their strength, and pray for the resources that will be needed to sustain this effort, and pray for what I believe is an unprecedented opportunity for Christians to share and show the love of God in these devastated communities. People are hurting, and they're looking not just for temporal help, but to make sense of all of these things. Pray that might happen. All right, when we come back here on Washington Watch, as I mentioned, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina is going to be with us. Then we're going to be taking your phone calls in just a bit at 866-372-7234. So don't go away. We're coming right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I want to remind you of the words Abraham Lincoln spoke at Gettysburg. He told his audience that our government is designed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's our responsibility to let our voices be heard when so much is at stake. So I implore you to become involved citizens who go to the polls and cast informed votes on Election Day.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to take a stand and pray and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. Yes, I'm back. Good to be back behind the microphone. As we were discussing earlier, a federal judge in Texas blocked the president's bathroom and shower policy. It is yet another blow to the president as he has tried to force this on the entire nation. But joining me now is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Dan Forrest, which really is ground zero in this bathroom battle, as that's where it's all started. And the president intends to force his agenda on America. But there are some officials like Dan who say, not on my watch. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, it's always great to be with you, and welcome back yourself.
Well, it's good to be here. Let me say, you've got to be pleased that yet another judge has ruled in favor of the common sense approach that you all have taken when it came to this bathroom policy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every one of these decisions is helpful. The media in North Carolina is obviously spinning it, saying this has nothing to do with the North Carolina lawsuit. Certainly there was the judge himself said those lawsuits are going to continue to go forward. But as you know, legal precedent does matter. When these judges make decisions like this, it's influential to the other judges around the country who end up having these cases. So, we're very thankful for this case in Texas. And we think, this judge's decision was spot on in every regard. All the things we've been talking about for months in North Carolina about protecting women and children in these facilities and the federal overreach. And, it's absolutely shameful what the administration tried to do. And the judge was very clear in saying, you didn't go through the proper rule of law procedures, the rulemaking procedures, as has been pretty much the precedent for this administration for quite some time.
Well, and for all of the above, that is the reason I think it's got to be encouraging to you all, because this judge basically took what you have been saying and the governor has been saying there in North Carolina and said, nope, I'm gonna stay this decision by the president. They've got an injunction here to keep this from going into effect. So I think it does bolster your position. And you are correct. These other cases are going to go forward, but legal precedent does matter. But also the facts. The judge would not have done this had he not felt like the facts were substantial in that this was a bad policy.
Yeah, no doubt. And some of the behind-the-scenes things that are going on here in North Carolina, listening to your show may not be aware of, but down in Mecklenburg County, the superintendent down there and the school board was in the process of putting together their own transgender policy and saying, you know, you need to disregard what the state of North Carolina law says because this is what the president says. And they were going to move forward with that. So this is a really big deal. This protects, you know, girls in schools in Charlotte Mecklenburg schools right now as well. You know, I have a couple daughters, and, you know, the even our opponents out there right now are saying they call it progress when my daughter has to walk into a shower facility. Say my 12-year-old daughter has to walk into a shower with a grown man that may be even a pedophile. They call that progress. That's absolutely shameful. And so this judge was spot on, and this judge may well have saved a little girl in a school locker room, shower, bathroom somewhere down in Mecklenburg County.
Well, let's step back for a moment in the subject matter and just talk about the overreach and the really what I would say is almost this would lead to kind of to anarchy. I mean, when you have, for instance, you just talked about Mecklenburg County, where you have the state that has authority and jurisdiction, and you have put out guidance, and you have the federal government coming underneath of you or over you, however you want to describe it, and usurping your legitimate authority under the Constitution, the state Constitution, and the federal Constitution. I mean, let's say it's something else next time that the federal government usurps state officials on. Where does that end?
Oh, I don't think it does if it really gets started. I've said that many times related to this issue. If the federal government could come into a state and tell them what to do with their bathrooms in the state, there's nothing that can stop them at that point. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the judicial system in our country, the leftist judges and you know, that are in the Fourth Circuit and other places don't even understand the Constitution, what the Constitution says. You know, there are people in our states now that are clamoring for local control. They call it local control, and that they believe that a city, a municipality, a county should be able to make up whatever rules they want to make up. And you're exactly right. That is anarchy. You know, we have 652 counties and municipalities in the state of North Carolina. Can you imagine what it would be like if they were all free to make up whatever rules they wanted to make up? And so there's a reason that in the states are supposed to have the majority of the authority there. There's a reason that North Carolina was the state that said no to the signing of the Constitution originally because we didn't have the Bill of Rights.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Burgess, my guest, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina. I want to ask you another question related to this, and it's the NBA making their announcement that they're pulling next year's All-Star game from your state, and they're moving it to my home state of Louisiana, to New Orleans. Now, the problem I see here is New Orleans has the same policy that North Carolina has. That is, they won't force a private entity to adopt the president's bathroom policy. In fact, Louisiana has joined a lawsuit suing the Obama administration over this policy. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, you're not missing anything because you get it. But it, you know, this is, I tell people, this isn't ideology. This is politics. We have an election on November 8th, North Carolina's a battleground state. There's a lot of power that the other side has had here for a long time, and they won it back. And so this is the Mark Benioffs of the world of Salesforce calling the CEO of PayPal, calling the CEO of Pepsi or Coke or whoever the sponsors are at the NBA, saying they're going to withdraw their support from the All-Star game unless they make a move like this. And so this is the human rights campaign at their best, doing what they do behind the scenes to influence politics in the state. So no, you haven't missed anything, because the NBA and in Charlotte have the same rights to do whatever they wanted to with their signs on their bathrooms and their arenas during the All-Star game. They could have changed that if they wanted, but they chose not to.
Yeah, and that's why I want to drive that point home. The state of North Carolina does not prohibit a private entity from doing this crazy stuff. It simply says governments cannot force them to do it, correct?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, we the city of Charlotte, under their ordinance that we had to strike down, was telling private businesses what they had to do. We said, no, city of Charlotte, you can't do that. Private businesses, you can do whatever you want. Do at your own peril. You know, what Target did with changing their bathroom policy cost them billions of dollars. But you know what? Under our bill, they had the right to do that. And so, you know, the people will speak with their pocketbooks and shopping at places like Target or going to an NBA game, but they have the full right to do that.
Right. And your policy doesn't change that. It simply says government cannot force them, which is what the left wants. They want government to force people because they know that's the only way they can accomplish this.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And they call that progress when the government is forcing people to do things like this. And that's it's a shameful act. And, you know, as a reminder to your listeners, it was an extortionary act from the federal government as well in the Obama administration when they were saying that unless we changed our law, they were going to withhold federal funding based on Title VII and Title IX, which you and I both know is a ridiculous argument.
Well, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, thanks so much for joining us today and giving us an update. We're going to continue to track this and also encourage folks there in North Carolina, which is a battleground state, to make sure that they are registered and voting in this upcoming election.
Well, thanks a lot, Tony. Thanks for having me on, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks up in D.C. at the Value Voter Summit.
Sounds very good. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. A great guy who is one of those guys we were talking about earlier, driven by his faith, not putting his faith, hanging it on a coat rack when he goes into office, but allowing it to guide his decisions. If you want good government, you want godly government, you have to have godly people in government. I know it drives the left crazy, but it's true. It's true. Where do you think government gets its values? It gets its values from the people we place in it. And we have every right. As John Jay said, the first Supreme Court Chief Justice said that we would do well to elect Christians to represent us. All right, we got a few minutes. We're going to take some phone calls, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Got a few minutes here before we wrap up this hour. Man, it has gone fast. Of course, that's what happens when you haven't been on radio for 3 weeks. By the way, 75 days till the election. I do hope you are registered to vote. Now, remember, a lot of states require you to register to vote 30 days prior to the election. So don't wait until the last minute. And churches, I would encourage you, if you've not yet done conducted a voter registration drive this year, that you do so and encourage the folks in your church to register, inform them about the issues, the candidates that will be on the ballot. It's not just the presidential. Obviously, that's important. But you have congressional races, you have state races, you have local races. A lot of things will be on the ballot November the 8th, so I want to encourage you to be registered and be voting. Vote your values. Now, sometimes, especially in general elections, you don't have a lot of choices, and some people are tempted to stay home. I would not do that. I would not suggest that you stay home or that you skip items on the ballot, individuals on the ballot, but rather I would encourage you to vote for those that are the nearest, or at least hold positions that are the nearest to the positions that you hold. It's not the best of, not the best situation that we have in the general election, but we've got to do our part to be informed and to be involved. So register and vote. That simple. All right, 866-372-7234. Got a few phone calls coming in here. I know it's late in the hour, but I wanted to get at least a call or two in. And before we wrap up my first day back here on Washington Watch, again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you want to keep up with our activities related to the relief effort here in Louisiana, again, we'll try to get a link up here before too long on TonyPerkins.com, but you can go to greenwellsprings.com, and you can kind of keep up putting out daily posts on what's taking place, at least on the campus of Greenwell Springs Baptist Church and our efforts really in this community, which is really kind of ground zero of the effort. All right, let's see here. Let's go. Do we have, are we ready? Yep. All right, let's go to Mississippi where Ethel is on the line. Ethel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I had a question I would like to ask you all since I've been listening to you quite a bit. And a lot of times you're very negative about the president. That's one thing I want to say. Secondly, I want to say what Christian qualities are, what is it about Donald Trump that makes you all seem that you want to vote for him? We only have two choices. We have Hillary and we have Donald Trump.
That's correct.
I'm a Christian myself, and I'm really trying to, I would definitely try to vote for the person that I think will service the United States. I really don't think it's Donald Trump. I don't see anything that I would, I mean, what I'm saying is, there are some things that he's talking about. Yes, I would like to see them. But what Christian value do I have to go on? What else is there to see about him?
Well, let me ask you first, let's apply the same standard to Hillary Clinton. What do you see there?
With Hillary, well, I have to say that both of them have qualities that I don't like, and some things that they talk about that I do. But if you really want to choose the lesser of, I think it would be Hillary, because she's more in tune to a lot of different issues that I haven't seen in Donald Trump.
Well, let me ask you this. She is for taxpayer funding of abortion. She wants to force you to pay for abortion. She is one of her first events after receiving the Democratic nomination was to do an event with Planned Parenthood. She is on record supporting the redefinition of marriage. I mean, I could go down the list of where she stands on views that are contrary to biblical truth. Now, as you've pointed out, Donald Trump, clearly not someone who is in direct alignment with core Christian values. However, let's talk about what is at stake in this election. And one at the top of the list is the United States Supreme Court. When we see what the court has done to this country in the last 45 years, beginning in 1973, well, really before that, but one of the most significant cases, 1973, Roe v. Wade. Now, last year, in June of last year, we had the court redefine marriage, departing with 5,000 years of human history. There is a vacancy right now that will be filled by the next president, and there'll probably be two more vacancies, at least, that the president will fill, which will have an impact for a generation. Now, Donald Trump has actually released a list of 11 candidates, conservatives, who are strict constructionists that abide by the Constitution, that he said he would nominate men and women like that and people off that list. That is huge in and of itself. He has also said he's going to protect religious liberty, which what we're seeing here in Louisiana, this response to this disaster is driven primarily by religious organizations, which I believe if Hillary had her way, many of these organizations would not exist because their tax exemption would be stripped and they would be relegated to the shadows of society. Well, we are out of time, but that is a topic I will return to. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.